You're now listening to The Brian Callen Show, considered the hottest podcast in the universe. Now get ready for the heat. Here's Brian Callen.
Are you calling from the UK? Or is it a secret?
I am.
Are you calling from an underground bunker now that you've cracked this?
Kind of giving it away now.
Yeah, no,
I'm in South London at the moment, sat in my house.
Is that right?
Probably being listened to by the NSA.
I was going to say, you've got a direct line to the Illuminati, obviously, so who knows? The article was fascinating, and this is kind of a fast... Let's talk a little bit about what this is, and you know, I mean, somebody is sending encrypted puzzles, and they're very sophisticated encrypted puzzles to, I guess, a lot of people that are in the computer world who are in it in a very deep way. And the question really is, why are they doing this, and whether or not they're looking for either people to work for them, or is it an intelligence agency that's actually looking for qualified candidates? We don't know, right? I mean, essentially...
No, we don't know. There'll be a small group of people who do know, but they're not talking. I mean, that's the question that kind of goes right to the heart of Cicada 3301, in that no one knows what the purpose of it. Away from all the code breaking and the various different types of cryptology that's going on, there doesn't seem to be any real purpose for it. I mean, on one hand, you could say it's obviously someone having a bit of fun, a bit of a laugh, setting poses, riddles for people around the world. But then you look at the complexity of it, the density of the codes they're using, the fact it's in 14, 15 different countries, and goes on so deep and so long. You've got to think there has to be a bit higher purpose for this, or a deeper purpose for this, or even a more sinister purpose for this.
Well, how did you come across this? How did you... You know, I mean, and then by the way, I mean, saving the fact that you may very well be the source of all this trouble, but keep going.
It could be an enormous double bluff.
I'm so intrigued.
I might just pretend that for a little while. I stumbled upon this in exactly the same way everyone else stumbled upon this, kind of organically, looking around the internet one night, bored, and I ran across this on a message board. Now, it was obviously, by the time I got to it, 3-4 months ago, it was a little old, because it obviously started in January 2012.
I have to interrupt you, because it's just so funny that when it's that time of night and I'm bored on the internet, I usually hit either RedTube or XNXX, but keep going. You're obviously of a much higher mind than I am.
No.
Or a lower libido.
This is where I went after RedTube. When I'm slightly sleepy. You know,
I do the same thing. I go to TED.com after I'm done with RedTube.
During cleanup, just, you know.
Oh, anyway, my God. Awesome.
Amen. You're my kind of guy, Chris. Keep going.
I stumbled across it, as everyone else did, a bit late, so there's obviously a lot more talk about it, and obviously the puzzle had kind of come to its end, or one of its ends by that point. But I kind of just started following the puzzle as well. Now, I must make absolutely clear that I possess almost none of the skills required to... complete this puzzle at all. I've barely mastered the light switch, let alone steganography or anything like that. However, I kind of followed it through. I got in contact with Joel Erickson, who you see quoted in the article several times, and he's done a lot of work and a lot of kind of forensic work pulling this together. But then you realise there's an entire community around it. You know, thousands of people have joined this search to try and solve these puzzles. And so I kind of got drawn in. And then, you know, I'm a freelance journalist by trade. Kind of after that, my sense of a story started sort of twitching, really. So that's how it started.
Have you talked to computer scientists? I mean, these are very in-depth puzzles that were obviously created by people who really know what they're doing, right? I mean, is that true? These are really difficult codes to crack. And my next question is, has anybody cracked any of these riddles? Or we don't know.
Well, no, I mean, as the article says, they've kind of come to a point now where... I'll start with the first question first. I spoke to a couple of cryptologists, cryptanalysts. For instance, Dr. Jim Gillagy, who's the former head of the American Cryptology Association, I think it is. And I mean, this he's the code breaker par excellence. He's done so much stuff over the years. He famously cracked Kryptos, which is this very famous code breaking statue in the grounds of the CIA at Langley. It's this enormous statue. Wow. No one knows what it means. It's full of weird symbols, full of different numbers, and he was the only non-CIA person ever to crack it. So he knows his stuff, and he just says that the depth and the variety of codes and riddles in this suggests someone who really knows their stuff, who really wants to find, you know, the best people out there. I mean, he for himself thinks, for instance, it might be a business like Google or someone like that looking for new recruits. In terms of riddles themselves, there are so many riddles, and a huge amount of them have now been solved. The problem is there's a gateway at the end of all these riddles where they let a few people in to the kind of sacred network within, and then they close the door. So, you know, maybe a dozen, maybe two dozen people have actually solved all the riddles, get to know what's at the end of it, but, you know, they aren't talking.
Yeah, we never see them again. This is all yours, my son. You know, you get this idea that there's some bat cave where you're like, and this is where you begin, you know?
And by the bat cave, exactly. You actually mean Chris's apartment, because Chris is running this whole thing.
In South London, he's like, hello. Hello, Chris. I'm Chris, I'm an investigative journalist. you just wonder what in the world, and nobody's talking, and no one's, that strikes me as somebody is obviously paying these, they're not threatening these people. It sounds to me like they've been recruited and they're being paid to do something, I would imagine.
Or they're all dead. You laugh, but I mean, since this has gone online, and the story's now gone around the world, the amount of people on comment boards just saying, well, if you were a military organization trying to get rid of the competition, wouldn't you set this kind of task, highlight the best in the world, and then just either employ them or kill them to get them out of the pitch?
The problem is that's almost like trying to control the weather. I mean, computer technology is always evolving and changing, and I don't know why you take the best minds at this and kill them. Only you know that, Chris. But it sounds to me more like these people are being ferreted out to find the best and the brightest, and then they're going to use them for something. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a variety of different theories that it's, you know, the NSA, CIA, the usual sort of pantomime villains of the piece. There's banks, computer companies, all these, you know, Google, they all, cryptology used to be just something that the military used, and, you know, back in World War II and what have you, what we needed to win wars. Now it's all about computer security. It's a lot more big business, and there's a lot more money behind it. There's millions and billions of dollars. So admittedly, this is a bit of a weird way to recruit people. However, maybe they're looking for people who don't come through the Yales and the Harvards, the usual route to big business. They're people who think, you know, more organically.
I was going to say, I mean, I'm less inclined to be impressed with a huge government bureaucracy like the NSA. I mean, innovation and stuff is coming from the nerds sitting in a room all day. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But there is, we are using, I mean, the new frontier of warfare to a large part seems to be cyber warfare. I mean, we've already sabotaged Iran's nuclear capabilities through computer viruses and stuff, I think admittedly so. So it feels as though that's probably the best way to control nuclear proliferation and things like that, I would imagine.
Someone says like the next world war will be online. Which you know, sounds like a slightly nicer world war than the last one.
Chris? I'm afraid we've lost Chris. Interesting. Very interesting. Chris was killed. Chris was taken away. And this is what happens when you start talking and getting too close to this story. Only on the Brian Callen Hunter Mod Show.
Well, Brian, what are you going to do with your last day on Earth?
I'm glad you asked. I'm going right to RedTube. And this is a great time to say that I'm going to be in Tempe, Arizona at the Improv. Let's talk about the most important things, my stand-up schedule. Go to briancallen.com. You will laugh, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, Brian, if you can get the NSA agents who have come to take you out laughing, then, you know, that's a real, that's a talk about a tough crowd.
That's exactly that's the whole point.
The whole Magilla.
Hey, wait, NSA, I'll be in Laugh Boston in Boston January 9th, 10th, and 11th. Let's hear it for Brian Callen.
He's so funny, he stops bullets.
That's it. And ladies and gentlemen, you know, we are, oh, there
oh,
he is.
Chris?
There he is.
Chris, we thought you disappeared. We thought you'd been dragged out of your apartment.
Nah.
You've got a gun to your head as you speak.
I have. There's a mysterious black van parked outside my house.
How interesting. How interesting. Yeah. And then you look on the other side, it says red too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. What,
so where do I get cut off? I'm kind of witching on here. I should be...
I love it. No, listen, you're more important than we are. This is, well, we don't have anything to say.
We'll just talk about RedTube all day.
Yeah. The prevailing theory really is probably this is some kind of a, I mean, according to your article, this is some kind of a military organization or a government organization that has the wherewithal to come up with all this sort of this ability, this encryptology and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's this is the mystery. I mean, if they are recruiting, it's a strange place to recruit from. But then again, as you say, it's so complex and so dense that, you know, it has kind of the ring of kind of an official body like that behind it. There was this mysterious message put on Pastebin anonymously on this website, just saying, beware of this organization. It's evil. It's nefarious. They have only, you know, bad intentions for the world. And, you know, I mean, that just might be someone causing trouble, having a bit of fun. But, you know, it's a story that's kind of resonated throughout the Sicard world.
Well, we all want to believe that there's some Hollywood sort of, you know, I mean, typically it feels as though when you get close to these things, there's usually a very specific reason people are doing it. And usually there's money at the end of that trail, I would imagine.
I mean, the only thing I've realized during kind of investigating this is you should never underestimate the amount of free time people have.
Either to
solve the thing, I mean, which is taking thousands of man hours, but to actually arrange the thing in the first place. I mean, you know, there's a lot of very, very bored people out there.
Yeah.
sitting in their mum's basement. So
who haven't discovered RedTube yet?
Yeah. there are a lot of guys that create these viruses. Whenever they catch these people or hackers and viruses, they're usually a kid, you're right, living with his mom. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. It's not as though they're these, you know, a brilliant mastermind with a black cape and a summer squash for a head. It's just usually some dude with a baseball cap on, I think. And
it really is. With a kind of Cheetos dust on his fingers, he's kind of you know, you're absolutely right in that. I think the kind of people that put this together are either really sinister and evil, or maybe slightly, you know, antisocial, should we say?
Yeah.
It's difficult to tell which.
Well, and that one of the things that I found so fascinating about your article was the darknet, which I had never heard of.
Yeah. That's mental, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, but that's another thing I was vaguely aware of it. This it's called the TOR Tor, or the Onion Router, I think it's short for. And basically the internet is largely unmapped. Even Google, with all its search engines, maps about maybe 15% of it. The rest of it is this enormous swathe of news groups and uncharted internet, which has things like Silk Road, which is the drug selling websites, terrorist networks, paedophile networks. They all exist kind of off the grid, albeit on the grid.
And they do it through cryptology.
They do. Well, the thing is, they don't. There's no such thing as a search engine in the dark net, so you can't Google, you know, drugs or, you know, weed or anything like that. you have to know the address yourself, so it's all anonymous, so that's where the darkest recesses of the internet and indeed probably humanity lie. Sure. And yet, you know, if you want to stay anonymous and you want to stay off the you know, the grid, this is where you live, this is where mm-hmm. you reside.
Do you actually know anyone that has cracked this code? Have you actually talked to somebody who has, I mean, we don't, how do we even know anybody has done this?
The internet, basically. I mean, I spoke to this guy, Joel Erickson. He's a proper, he's an expert. He's an expert in cryptology. He's also, you know, his day job is cracking codes like this and examining flaws in security systems and things. He got quite far in. He just didn't get there far enough. He got there just after they closed the door, basically. So he got right up to the end, and then the door was kind of shut in his face. The people who did get through the door, they've said hardly anything. Even the few internet like sites that have managed to speak to people like that, they aren't talking, or they've revealed small things. Like the last group who got through had to complete a personality test online. Something as weird as that, where they had to talk about, you know, how they felt about their mother after they have psychotic feelings. You know, so
that's interesting though, because that strikes me as, you know, if they're doing psychological profiles, then it would lead me to believe that maybe that is a government organization or a corporation looking for very smart people who are also stable. I mean, there is something about, it's kind of a double-edged sword. If you are looking for very smart people, the kind of person that would obsess for months or even a year on a riddle might not be that stable and may not have much of a life, you know, it depends.
Yeah, but right? You don't necessarily want them to have a life.
Yeah. That's true.
And the other thing I would say, though, is that by the same token, if you're a bunch of dorks who want to feel cool and want to feel and have the world thinking that you're some secret organization, you give them psychological tests so that it seems like a government agent. I mean,
exactly.
I think that's the interesting thing. I mean, you know, I know dorks. I am a dork. I'm willing to admit that on the Brian Callen show.
But come on, Hunter.
No, stop it. And you know,
not with a name like Hunter Mox.
Yeah, well, that's true. And the man with the tailpiece. But the it's true. I can squat. But the thing is that so much of what that motivation is about is that it's about the puzzle for the puzzle's sake. You know, it's really not. These guys are not motivated by money primarily. You know, they've got something to prove, and it's so much of it is about, you know, that status in the eyes of other people who really understand how hard and impressive this stuff is.
Yeah.
Well, having said that, though, it does sound like a really good way to recruit very smart people.
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
You have people watching everybody doing this stuff. I don't know if they can even track it. And then as they develop more and more of an ability to solve these riddles, maybe there's a knock at your door and some official looking people are standing there who say, you want a job? Here it comes, you know? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, I think that there is a third kind of option, which is probably the most disappointing one, is that there's some theories it's just a huge advertising thing that in a few years' time it will reveal itself to be, you know, some new BMW or form of Windows or something, which is kind of depressing. But, I mean, these things have happened before. They're called ARGs, alternative reality games. And you know, Microsoft have done them. Google are doing one at the moment called Ingress, which should be going on for a few months now.
Yeah.
You know, the idea that this is exactly some elaborate advertising campaign is kind of depressing.
Yeah. It's a little bit like being an actor and you go through – 7 auditions, and at the end of it, you think it's going to... My agent sent me on this thing. There was a very secretive show. It was an improv show, and it was going to be this thing for, you know, Fox or whatever, and I went through 7 auditions. It was all improv, and I thought, and finally they bring me into a room, and I get the job, and they say, you got the job, and I was like, wow, thank you, and it was for that show Joe Schmo, where they... Literally, I had to be an actor on some bad cable show that nobody was going to watch, and I was going to make $3. I was like, you guys drag me through the muck for a week? I literally, in the room, I go, I'll do it for $100,000 an episode. And they kind of laughed. I go, that's my price. I'll see you later. I was so mad. And, you know, but you're right. You're right. This could very well be something just to get, you know, I've heard, and I believe this is true. A lot of times when they want publicity for a movie and they're casting for Wonder Woman or whatever it might be, they'll hold nationwide auditions knowing they've already got their girl or a group of their girls. And they'll just have people waiting in line trying to be the next Wonder Woman. And it's a publicity stunt. You know?
Yeah. I mean, they've just done that in the UK. They've just been hosting auditions for the new Star Wars movies down in Bristol in the UK.
There you go.
I'm pretty sure that's they've already got their people. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, do you know where those auditions are exactly? Because I would love to be.
It is. Down in the southwest of England.
I'll be there. I'll stay with you in the cave.
But the other thing that I wanted to ask you about, Chris, is also just the response to the article, because it's been insane, right?
Yeah, it's gone. No one in the mainstream media, as they call it, slightly patronizingly, has ever really covered this. So you write up a nice article, vaguely, you know, dipping your toe into the surface, and it's gone huge. I mean, I write for the Daily Telegraph in the UK, but actually it's gone out to the Sydney Morning Herald, two newspapers in Canada, Washington Times, South America, something in Russian that I don't really understand. All I can see is my name at the top of it and a picture of a cicada, so I presume it's my art.
Yeah.
But it has gone everywhere, and it's been like the biggest read article. I think everyone loves a mystery. Everyone loves a riddle. Everyone loves, especially because it's unsolved. Everyone likes the fact it's still a bit of a cliffhanger. So it has been huge, and the reaction to it has been immense. The only bad thing about it is I did put a mistake in the article, a mathematical mistake.
Oh, no.
Literally about 2,000 people have picked me up on it.
Oh, God.
Several different languages. So,
Oh, that's hilarious. That's hilarious. But, you know, that's kind of what that's what I would expect, because I think we live in a time of, you know, where the technology is expanding exponentially. And so much of us and most people just feel overwhelmed by this thing called the internet. You know, you're talking about the different dimensions and things like that. And you know, of course there's a mystery. It's exactly like looking up at the stars and saying there are extraterrestrials out there somewhere, and they're probably contacting us right now or making plans to do so. The internet is a galaxy, man. It's a universe. So obviously everybody's going to want to look for mysteries within that incredible matrix. I mean, that's what movies are made about and stuff. So it doesn't surprise me that you've gotten such an incredible response. You know, I mean, this is the kind of thing that people love. What is the name,
Cicada 3301.
What does that mean?
I mean, it's all referencing in on itself, and this is why it's obviously taking someone a long time to prepare this, even if it is just the guy in his mum's basement. But the I mean, the cicada is obviously the insect. I mean, that in itself has relevance because it's all about prime numbers, for example. I mean, this is how much detail do you want me to go into? But cicada is an insect that only emerges from its burrow every 13 or 17 years, basically a prime number.
I should say to Americans, we call it cicada.
That's okay. Really?
I like the way you say cicada.
Cicada. Cicada, yeah.
Maybe so keep going. Like, so they emerge.
Flat English vowels. Yeah, well, they emerge only every, I think it's 13 or 17 years, which is a prime number. It's the only animal in the whole world that does this. It does it to avoid being eaten by a predator. And what you realize then is that insect, which appears throughout. I mean, as I said in the article, it looks like, you know, Science the Lambs and Thomas Harris. He had the moths throughout the book and throughout the whole film. The image of the cicada appears everywhere. Through the thing. So it's kind of this kind of leitmotif that people can follow and becomes a symbol of it. But again, it's all about prime numbers. The 3301 is a prime number. Prime numbers appeared throughout the whole puzzle. So all interlinks. It's obviously taken a huge amount of preparation to put together, which makes it all the more intriguing.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. That makes sense to me. You know, I mean, it sounds like somebody really has put a lot of time, but have you talked to anybody like an encryptologist who said that this would take a group of people? I mean, could one person be doing this, or is this the work of a group?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't. This wasn't in the article. I was speaking to this guy, Jim Gillagher, Dr. Jim Gillagher, who's the professional cryptanalyst, if you will, and he says that cryptanalyst brains.
He's
being
too much.
Killed again.
He talks too much and he gets killed. And this is exactly what happens. Ladies and gentlemen, we are a cutting edge podcast here. We don't play around. We get some of the top investigative journalists, and they get killed on air. In fact, In fact, the second break, that wasn't even Chris. He was an impersonator. They actually have a guy who impersonates Chris. We don't even know who we're talking to. Hunter, who the hell is
spreading disinformation.
Oh man, I'm so nervous. Wait a minute. There's a chopper outside my window, and it's not making any noise. They've got sound suppressors on.
But Brian, isn't that just a normal Monday morning for you?
Not really, because cicadas, guys dressed as cicadas, are coming out of the helicopter. Man, what bulky outfits they are. Like just shitty guys in cicadas, like we're trying to get me and they can't get out of their own uniform. Hey, you cicadas. I spray them with bug spray.
And then, come on, you got to have some sort of Arnold Schwarzenegger style one-liner as you kill them.
Damn bugs. Damn bugs. Chris!
Let's try it again.
Chris is still dead.
Yeah. Well, he's been tied up.
Yeah.
He's being told what to say. Every time he gives us too much information, Poor Chris. Christopher! Chris, are you back?
Hello.
There we go.
I'm still alive.
I mean, every time you give us too much information, you obviously get censored. We have parameters for this interview. This is so exciting. A bunch of guys dressed as cicadas just came out of a helicopter, and they're in my backyard. But they're not very threatening. What a shitty animal. What a shitty insect. You know, it's not the hornets or the wasps. It's just a chubby insect that makes a lot of noise and can't bite you.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about? I was saying,
is this a group effort? And you were talking to an cryptologist who, about that, and whether or not one person could pull this off, or is it a group effort? I mean,
Yeah, I mean, obviously, this guy, Dr. Jim Gillagy, he was talking about how normally cryptologists are very good at one specific kind of puzzle, new numbers, visual stuff, coordinates, that kind of thing. He said there's so many different kinds of puzzle in here, whether it's mind numbers, number theory, steganography, but also old-fashioned rhyming.
Okay. So it's got to be the work of a group.
References. Literature, it references classical music. There's obviously the second part of the puzzle. There's a bit where someone played the guitar and you had to analyze what notes they were playing. I mean, this isn't the work of one person. It's a work of a group, definitely.
That's amazing. That's intriguing as hell to me. That's one of the things about the article I thought was amazing. You really have to have you have to be a Renaissance man. You got to know a lot of stuff. You know, from music to art to, all kinds of things. So, yeah, this sounds like a highly, at least these people are highly cultured. They may be evil, but they have, and that's the good news. I mean, for real, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's,
yeah, but
you're talking about a group of people that clearly appreciate the sciences, the arts, and a lot of other things. I mean, this is an eclectic puzzle. You've got to have an eclectic mind.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this is why also it's been so popular on the internet, because it's taken a group of people to solve it as well. There's not one person who's gone all the way through solving all the puzzles. He's taken support from, the Reddit community or different other communities who followed the riddle all the way through to the end.
That's amazing. And here we are left with the riddle. I mean, do you feel that there is going to be, if this turns out to be something from Toyota, there's no way. I don't think a corporation could be this. I just don't. This sounds like, gosh, I don't know now. I don't know now. Yeah. It doesn't feel like these are military people. It doesn't feel like it's Russian intelligence or Chinese intelligence or American intelligence. It doesn't.
Well, we haven't read the Russian version of Chris's article. It may say, oh, shit, they caught us.
Well, I have.
Oh, good. Okay.
No, but you know what I mean? This feels as though, and I had forgotten that about the article until you reminded me. I mean, there are... Give us a couple of examples of what you have to know in order to solve this, to get to the next steps. Because there's music, there are lots of questions.
Let's see. It references poetry from people like Aleister Crowley, William Gibson. It's got classical music in it. There is, Victorian occult. We've got Caesar ciphers. We've got steganography. Now, steganography in itself is a really complicated bit of technology. It's hiding messages within pictures. I mean, this is how Al-Qaeda supposedly planned, 9/11, by posting up pictures on eBay which had hidden messages inside it.
Wow.
And this is how people like paedophiles also are supposed to hide the pictures that they want to swap.
Yeah.
So there's obviously these are difficult and challenging techniques for instance, just the average kind of web surfer to wander in and have a go.
Sure.
You could have a keen mind, or be a paedophile, of course, to solve these things.
Or be a cultured paedophile.
Yeah.
I mean, do you have a theory on what country this might originate from? I would imagine it sounds like it's from an English speaking country.
That seems to be definitely in the English speaking country. I mean, at one point the puzzle resolved itself to a phone number based in Texas. So when the people phoned up this, dialed up this number, and they got an answering machine message with the next clue. But that was based in Texas, and then within a few days the phone number cut off. Then obviously the next step of the puzzle was, I think it was lampposts. They had streetlights. They had posters of cicadas stick up in, I think, 14 different countries around the world: Moscow, Hawaii,
wow.
Sao Paulo. So it went from
being, that's a lot of effort. Wow.
It went from being feasibly something that someone in Texas on their own could have put together, and suddenly it jumped up a notch, and suddenly it was around the world. So, and they think that for many people who are trying to solve the riddles, that's when they realize, my God, this is something bigger than we thought.
That's impressive as hell. The next question, though, is I wonder if those posters really were up, or whether that's an elaborate hoax in itself, right?
I mean, it's probably not. There are loads of pictures of the posters up online.
That's incredible.
So, literally, it was a countdown on a website. As soon as the countdown resolved, pow, all these GPS coordinates popped out. When people ran to these GPS coordinates, they're in the middle of major cities, they realized they weren't the actual posters there, and new codes to scan in and new clues to follow.
I'm now drawn in. I mean, as you tell me more, I'm actually now really intrigued by this. This is an elaborate. I don't even think it's a hoax. I mean, whatever this is, somebody's got a lot of money. Somebody's got a lot of reach. I mean, this is.
I mean, this is one of the reasons why, arguably, it might not be like someone in the military. Because when the military have tried this before, this kind of subtle recruiting technique, they've just kind of failed dismally. I mean, back in 2010, the American Cyber Command, your official government hackers, they set up a kind of puzzle for people to solve. They released a new logo, and there was a code hidden in the logo, and they asked people... The head of the Cyber Command asked people to solve it, see if they could find the message. I think it took hackers about 3 hours. So that gives you some. So they set this what they thought was an incredibly elaborate puzzle, and actually it was a piece of
child's
piss
play,
to use an English idiom. So
a piece of piss. It had to be frozen piss to be a piece.
Which in England is no problem.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. A piece of piss-soaked cake. So they've tried it before. The British intelligence are currently running a competition for people to crack some number clues. So everyone's at it. It just seems the cicada people are far better at it than anyone else.
What do you think? I mean, you've been following this. Do you have a theory?
It alternates between it being... I actually think it's probably a company. I don't think the military would go... I mean, the image that started it all, the first enticement to start people solving this puzzle appeared on a website called 4chan. Now, if you've ever been on 4chan, It'll melt your brain. It's this mental message board where you could find, you know, Japanese anime. You can find footage of someone having their head cut off in Chechnya. You can have, or you find lots of pictures of kittens. And it was buried on here. It was buried on this message board, and that's where it first appeared. Now that doesn't strike me as a place where a military organization would recruit from. But then again, you know. No,
yeah, that is interesting, because the kind of people that go to those kind of websites are, and I know some people who do so, are generally bored or depressed or don't have a life. I mean, or I don't know.
Or, you know, or erect at the time.
or erect. We're looking for, yeah, exactly. They've got to be very smart and virile as hell. Yeah. They got to be smart and perverted. My favorite, not really my favorite combination. My favorite combination is low self-esteem with daddy issues in high heels. If you know of a website for that, if you know of a riddle, if I can weave a web. Yeah, man, that's gosh, I am pretty intrigued. I mean, why in the world? So Cicada started there. It started on that website.
Yeah, started on that website, and that's where it blossomed. I mean, it then moved on to other websites. I mean, for a while there was a Twitter feed just pumping out random, what they thought was random numbers that turned out to be references to a book. So it's gone over several different websites, several different media, you know, everything.
But here's my question. Did they contact encryptologists and computer specialists? Did certain people get a special challenge or message?
No, it was put up anonymously on a message board and just basically said, what was the message? Give me one second. The message was kind of just trying to pull people in. The message said, hello, we're looking for highly intelligent individuals. To find them, we've devised a test. There was a message hidden in this image. You still there?
Yeah, I'm right here. Yeah.
Sorry, my Skype just bleeped. We're looking for highly intelligent individuals. To find them, we have defied a test. There is a message hidden in this image. Find it, and it will lead you on the road to finding us. We look forward to meeting the few that will make it all the way through. Good luck, 3301. So that was the message that started it all. And from then on, people thought it would just be, you know, a random riddle that'd last a few hours. It turned out it was going to last 2 years. See, this riddle.
And that was 2 years ago. That was 2 years ago.
Yeah, almost 2 years ago. January the 4th, 2012 was the first set of riddles. January the 5th, 2013 was the next set. Now, theoretically, that means there's a new set of riddles coming in about 4 weeks' time. Although, who knows? I mean, since my article's kind of gone around the world, I don't know whether I've kind of pushed these people back into wherever, you know, I might have scared them off a little bit because it's got such widespread coverage. But we'll see.
God, it's incredible. I really look forward to just finding out what the resolution is of this. If there is one. I mean,
we may never find out. So who knows?
Yeah. Well, Chris, I very much appreciate you coming on the number one podcast of all time. I don't know if you know that, but
I did not know that.
Yeah, well, not yet. It's not yet. We have we're hoping. No, you know, I Hunter is the guy who always gets fascinating people like yourself and finds these fascinating subjects. So, Hunter, thank you. And it always helps when you have an English accent. You can say, you know, it's amazing you can say anything with that. Well, we're the ones with the accent, but when you speak as you do, you can pretty much get away with anything in this country. I'll tell you that much. You just sound smart.
I'll hush you.
Yeah. Have you been to LA?
Yeah, I've been to LA many times.
All right. Well,
and enjoyed myself thoroughly with my English accent.
Please let us know when you come. Please, we will get you back in the studio and take you out for a pint.
Awesome, man. That'd be absolutely brilliant. Well, thanks for your time anyway.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you for doing this, man.
Yeah,
really,
what a great article.
I'm excited. Cool. All right, Chris. Thank you.
Take care.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hunter.
Yes.
Thank you, my friend.
Oh, no worries. No worries.
And sorry, everybody. I'm Skyping. And the reason I'm Skyping is because I forgot we had a podcast today. And I'm not in the studio. And I'm sitting here in a button-down shirt because I thought I was going to be on camera, and my underwear. So I got that going for me.
Wait, but that whole ensemble is intended for camera, right?
Naturally.
And by camera, you mean red tube.
by camera, I mean, the encrypted pedophiles.
On the darknet.
Websites on the darknet. It is kind of fascinating, dude.
The darknet is, I mean, I started reading after, I mean, within Chris's article, there's a link to another article about the darknet. And you start to look at all these sites like the Silk Road. And yeah, people are selling like drugs, you know, high grade military weapons. I mean, it's nuts. I mean, you know, that's the darknet is five times the size of the internet that we see.
That's crazy.
It is nuts.
I mean, there's more to the internet than my email.
Well, not much, Brian. I mean, that's sort of the bright glowing dot at the center of the internet. And then there's the solar system that revolves around it.
By the way, I thank you to all the fans who write in and say nice things. I always try to answer everybody.
Yeah, so. And also I think as well, like, thanks for, you know, feedback on how we can improve the show. That's always highly appreciated.
Yeah, like don't Skype.
Well, that would that'll be one that you'll be getting. That's, you know.
Naturally.
Even our fans aren't so smart that they can, you know, email to the past.
All right, well, I'm going to see all of you guys tomorrow. I apologize for not being there. I'm sorry that I had it actually written down and in my calendar, and I have no idea how I forgot that. I have no idea. I don't even know what to say. I checked to see if we had something on Monday, but who cares?
Listen, it all worked through the magic of technology, and, you know, our guest was only censored twice.
Only censored twice, which was awesome. Rena, yeah. Thank you for your magnificent face and your magnificent technological know-how.
You're welcome.
And Hunter, thank you for your infinite patience.
Brian, you know, I work with teenagers. It's kind of the thing that's required.
You are really good at it. Like, when I screw up, you're like, all right, not a problem. We'll fix this right now. You never get mad. You just go into fix it mode. I'm like, all right, Hunter's got this. Hey, guess what? I don't know when we're going to air this, but I know I'm going to be at the Tempe Improv and I'm going to be at Laugh Boston. So go to briancallant.com. And check out where I'm going to be, because I'm going to be doing some stand-up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited. All right, well, anything else, Hunter? Well, what else should we know?
I mean, you know, the answers are all coming out on January 6th.
You are correct, sir. You are correct.
Awesome.
All right, thanks, everybody, for listening. Hunter, thank you, my friend. And Rena, thank you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care, all. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Brian Callen Show. Be sure to visit briancallen.com for information about this episode as well as past and future episodes. You can follow Brian on Twitter at Brian Callen and like him on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Brian Callen Comedy. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.